is the day which the Lord has made. We will. It's a choice. And it's a choice how we respond. And even though today we may not feel like hollering out, rejoice and be glad in it. We have to some days choose to get out of bed, do we not? We have to choose to let our feet hit the floor. We have to choose to holler out and praise Him in the midst of our darkness. In the midst of whatever we're going through. A couple weeks ago, we talked about shining our light in dark places, did we not? And we talked about 17 missionaries that morning were kidnapped in Haiti. Did y'all hear about their freedom yet? No, because it hasn't happened yet. But I pray that wherever they are shining their light in their dark place. And we read the story about Paul and Silas in prison. Today, turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16. And today, there's no better day than today to talk about we are still the church. Amen? Man, I love being in the house of God, and we are still the church today. The church at its worst is still better than the world at its best, I heard. The church at its worst is still better than the world at its best. And there's a separation there. There's a separation between the flesh and the spirit. And that's where we want to be. So in Matthew chapter 16, we're starting in verse 13. And Jesus has been walking with His disciples. He selected them. We're in chapter 16 already of Matthew. But Jesus is talking to His disciples. And He talks to Peter in verse 13. Matthew 16, verse 13. He said, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, who do men say that I am? The Son of Man. So they said to Him, some say that John the Baptist, some say you are Elijah, and others Jeremiah, and one of them, or one of the prophets, others say. And He asked them again, He said, but who do you say I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. For flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. You see, He didn't go out and ask a bunch of people, who's this guy that I've been following? And do this great study. Let me see where He came from. But the Father in heaven revealed it to Him. And He said, I also say to you that you are Peter. And on this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Lots of controversy just in that phrase alone. What does that mean? And it says in verse 19, I will give you the keys of the heaven, the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Which talks about whatever you permit or don't permit, or allow or don't allow, you've got the keys to that, to allowing that. They're talking about building the church, because up till now it's been a following or a gathering. And Jesus is talking about, let me build my church. And by the way, Peter, I'm going to use you. And you've got to decide, will this be allowed or not be allowed? Will false teachers be allowed there? Will they preach my word, or will they elaborate and use some of their own customs and their own personal ways? And then He commanded His disciples that they should not tell anybody. Interesting, isn't it? He commanded His disciples that they should tell no one that He was Jesus the Christ. All those that believe in Jesus Christ, what are we supposed to spend our time doing? Telling others that He is Jesus the Christ. And in the beginning of the church, He said, don't tell anybody. Even the Old Testament said He's coming. John the Baptist said, He's coming. There is one greater than I am. but to his disciples commanded them, do not tell anyone I am Jesus the Christ. It wasn't time yet. Church, we have to understand when we take on activities that we want to do, and we may say, it's the will of God that I do this, it may not be the time. Not yet, according to Jesus. It may be his will that you do this, that you prepare for it, but don't do it yet. He was preparing his disciples. And yet John the Baptist was preparing the world for his coming. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Now it says, from that time Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and he must suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and also that he must be killed and be raised the third day. Now listen to verse 22. It says, and Peter took him aside, and he began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. Let's see. Then Peter took him. Okay. Peter. He said, Peter, on this rock I will build my church, and I will give you the keys. And then here we are, verses later. Peter says that to him, and how does Jesus respond? Get behind me, Satan! I can't imagine what Peter's thinking. Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. You see, guys, this is why you can't tell people yet. Because I'm still preparing you. I'm Jesus the Christ, but you're not ready. You're still living among men. You're not mindful fully of the things of God yet. Now in verse 24, Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, now they've been following, but if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each one according to his works. So he's telling us, hey, we've got some work to do. You're following me. This has been revealed who I am by the Father in heaven, but you can't tell anybody yet. Oh, by the way, I have to go up to Jerusalem. I'm going to suffer at the hands of these people there. And not just suffer, but they're going to kill me. But 3 days later, I'm going to be raised from the dead in this glorious resurrection. And then one says, this won't happen to you. We'll protect you. We won't let this happen. He says, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, he tells him. He says, your mind still isn't where it needs to be. We have a lot of work to do. He lashes out at him, reminding him, get your mind on things of God. We talked several weeks ago about having our mind up above. And then he says, if you want to come after me, you have to deny yourself. Let me ask you, church, when was the last time you denied yourself? Think about it. When was the last time you denied yourself? When was the last time you picked up your cross and you followed him with that cross? Well, it's late at night. It's early morning. It's midday, time for my nap. I don't want to pick this thing up. You see, it's heavy. And it's a burden. to carry this heavy load. And by the way, my family wants me to do this, but I can't do that if I'm carrying the cross. They don't want me to drag the cross in their house. I'll have to set it down here. And when I go out, I hope I come this way and can pick it back up. Think about denying yourself. That's costly. That is very costly as a disciple and a follower of Jesus Christ. I am Christ's ambassador. Really, go pick up that cross and carry it. Oh, and don't set it down until He tells you to. I'm tired. Yeah. Serving the Lord is very tiresome at times. Crucifying the flesh is difficult. We live in the flesh. Peter, you're an offense to me. You are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. In the flesh, we hang on to those things, the things that we find difficult to crucify for the sake of kingdom work. Our time, our talent, our money, our possessions, our looks, our vices, our habits. But you're still the church. We are still the church. I love the gospel song, "We are still the church, we will go forward." Every now and then, I quoted a gospel song a couple weeks ago, and I thought every now and then I just like hearing the good old gospel tunes, because it'll bring you back home. Now, in theory, the praise and worship songs should bring us right back home as well and bring us to Scripture. It says, we are still the church, we will go forward. We are still the church, we will go on. But to be the church, and we know that we are the church, right? To be the church, we must deny ourselves. For the church to go on and go forward, we have to deny ourselves. That's why we have empty sections here at Prayer of Faith and many churches. I've talked to several of our local pastor friends. They struggle with the same thing. That flesh all of a sudden is taken over. We're in a different day and time. Not as far as the gospel is concerned. We're in the same exact day and time. We're to serve the Lord with gladness in our hearts. We're to praise and worship. We're to deny ourselves. That hasn't changed. I don't care what year it is. I don't care who the president is. I don't care what is going on in the world. That has not changed. We have to deny ourselves. We think that we have to tell everybody everything we think. But some people turn that around and say, yeah, but you're doing the same thing. Hey, I'm just preaching what's right here. Okay, this isn't a personal opinion. God's Word says, boom, deny yourself. Pick up the cross and come after me. It's a great time of year again. Hallmark's back on, full swing. Had to find a way to get that in. You'd think I'd have stock in Hallmark. But my wife and I were watching a show last night. And a guy was talking about the Bible. And his son said, I'm not going to do that. Now, this is a grown son and a grandfatherly type. And he said, I'm not going to do that. And he said, well, you should. And he said, why? And the grandfather pulled out his Bible and he said, because of this. Because of what a carpenter did when somebody was in need. And the guy said, well, you can't argue with the Bible. And the grandfather said, then stop doing it. Church, we have to stop arguing with the Bible. Now, I know you say, we're not arguing with the Bible. No, you just push it out of the way. You have a one-sided conversation with yourself. I'm not doing it. We don't even bring the Bible into it. And it's sad.
We are still the church. We will go forward. We are still the church. We will go on. Now, turn in your Bibles. Hold a spot right there in Matthew, but turn in your Bible back towards back to Titus. Titus is a little bitty book after Ephesians and Thessalonians. In Titus chapter 2, my heading says, qualities of a sound church, and we've read this before. And it says, but as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. Well, church, I guess that's us. Titus chapter 2, verse 1. But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. Older men, be sober and reverent, temperate, sound in faith, sound in love, sound in patience. Older women, likewise, that you may be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to too much wine, be teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet. This is on echo. To be discreet. That means not everybody needs to know everything. Be chaste, be homemakers, good, obedient to your own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Now in verse 6 it says, likewise exhort the young men to be sober-minded, in all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works. Notice it says a pattern. That means over and over and over, repetitious. To be a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. You know, I was talking to a young man at work the other day, and I brought up this scripture. And I said, when you have a life that is not filled with integrity or trust, it's hard to build those things back up. And again, it mentioned pattern, have a pattern of good works. And I said, in rebuilding trust and integrity, you have to have a pattern that shows that you've changed. And you have to be such that when people bring something against you, they have nothing evil to say of you, because your pattern has changed now and been consistent and you've improved. And we have to remember that when we lose trust, when we do something that takes away trust that others have for us or integrity, it takes time to build that back up, does it not? We have to give them the opportunity, but they also have to prove a pattern of good works. It goes on and says, exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering or taking or stealing, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. And my point to that is that these things tie together. He says, I'm going to build my church on this. But in order to continue and grow that church, we have to have these things where the older men and the older women are working with the younger men and the younger women. And we're setting an example. We're setting an example saying, hey, this is how you should be. These are the things we should do. These are the things we shouldn't do. By the way, when we mess up, we need to tell them that. Hey, I messed up. I shouldn't have done this. I shouldn't have said this. I did it to get a laugh. I did it for whatever reason. I did it because I haven't quite crucified the flesh. That's a lot of things we're called to model every day, day in and day out, is it not? We're called to model towards the lost. We're called to model towards the younger women, the younger men. If we're older men and women, we're called to model our good works, our integrity, our fidelity. There's a lot riding on our shoulders, church. We've got babies in the church that we need to raise up. We've got babies coming in the church that we need to raise up. We must move forward and we must press on. I know I'm not perfect. I'm going to be here. I'm going to press on. When we look at these things, if you're still in Titus, look at chapter verse 11. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. Now it says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us with every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you." It tells us right there, we've been taught, verse 11, verse 12 actually, teaching us, denying ungodly and worldly lust. So we've been taught that. Then it says we should live this way. If we know, then here's how we should live. We shouldn't live contrary to what we've learned and what we know. The church body, the building, the gathering of believers, that's for many reasons. We are the church, and I know church has become just synonymous with the building, the four walls, and what happens inside of them. But we are still the church. But we need to keep coming. Why? For growth. For accountability. For fellowship. For friendship. For other people. You realize sometimes when you show up, it's not for your benefit. It's for the benefit of somebody else. Just seeing your smiling face today, it benefits other people. You bless other people simply with your presence. The church can't and won't grow if we aren't going out and becoming witnesses for Him. We're witnessing what? Our integrity, our good works, our good speech, the way we talk to one another, the hope that we give one another, the peace that we can bring to a situation, the joy we can share or give to somebody. We have to press on and witness with these things. And it's hard to witness in two places. In your bed. And in your selfishness. It's very hard to witness in those two places. I just don't think there's a whole lot of credibility in witnessing in those two places, right? We're still the church. We will go forward. We are still the church. We will go on. I'll be here week after week. Sometimes I'm on autopilot. When I get off the highway to Anderson Road, homes to the left, churches to the right, I turn to the right, and once in a while my wife says, "Where are we going?" I said, "I was going to church. I don't know why. We're heading home." I'm on autopilot, but I'll be here. I'll be here giving and serving and playing. Not like Susie, but I'll be playing my best, preaching and teaching. I'm going to be here. Will you? 35 years of prayer of faith. We have grown, we have shrunk, we have grown again, we have shrunk. We have been in times of plenty, we've been in times of need. We have been full and we have been hungry. We have had money, and then we have now when we don't. We've gone on mission trips and we've gone nowhere. We've blessed others and we've needed to be blessed. But we're just getting started. Think of one of the largest churches in Oklahoma City. Where, I don't know, maybe, forget Life Church, Crossings Community Church. Do you know they started their expansion after they were 35 years old into what they are today? We're just getting started. They were just getting warmed up. We are still the church. Amen? Amen. I'm proud to be a part of this church. I'm proud to be here week after week serving amongst you people. I'm proud to be a part of this family of believers. And I am so proud of the work that this church has done over the years. We have planted seeds. We have saved lives. We'll never see the fruit of some of those seeds we've planted. But we planted, and there is fruit. And we won't see it all till we're on the other side. But that's part of our work here. When it goes through the fire, we'll see that. It's beyond these four walls. It's beyond this platform. It's beyond me. It's beyond Pastor Eric. It's in each one of you to take the message of the gospel and share that with the world. Wherever your world is, He's called you to preach the message of the gospel through just your actions or your kindness. Your generosity, whatever it is, you're preaching the message of the gospel and you are witnessing for Jesus Christ in everything you do every day. Choose to be a powerful witness. Amen? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we give thanks today for those that have started the church. We give thanks today for those that have built the church, those that have come before us. We give thanks for those that have watered after the planting has taken place, those that have been here for the harvest. Lord, we give thanks for those that have come before us that are no longer with us. We thank you for the work that they have done, the kingdom work they've done here at Prayer of Faith. Lord, for the souls that have been saved, for the souls that have been touched, for the hurting that have been healed, we give thanks today for that as we celebrate 35 years. Lord, for those that are here today, I give thanks for them as well. Lord, we thank you for the future generations to come. For the babies we have, for the babies that are coming. For the families we have and the families that are coming. Father, today we are still the church and we thank you for that.